Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Our returning champion is Clive Gable, who was here a few weeks ago talking about his new book, Neurocopy. As Nathan and I got to know Clive a little better, we found out he has been doing a lot with AI and copywriting that, frankly, we haven't seen anyone else do. For example, he has a story lead generator that comes up with a big idea for a sales letter or a VSL, and then, based on that big idea, writes a unique story lead to start the piece. Clive's also created a bot that writes like Gene Schwartz, but he only uses it to write the first part of a piece of copy. He has another bot that writes probably the best kind of clothes he's ever seen. And he's taken research to a whole new level using AI. Beyond that, he's taken the late Chris Marlowe's brilliant 21-question process for creating copy briefs and automated that using AI. And there is even more. Clive is putting together an agency to help copywriters and companies using his suite of AI tools do one of four things: beta control, or do in-depth research, or figure out why something's not working, or write brand new copy right out of the box. We'll talk later about how you can reach out to Clive if you'd like to find out more about what he's doing. But for now, let's get into his background a little bit, if you don't remember from a few weeks ago. He started out as a door-to-door salesman, offering home improvement products and services for as much as $25,000 a pop, and closing an amazing 2 out of every 3 people he talked to. He's an experienced copywriter and has generated over 40 million pounds, which is over $50 million, across 12 different industries. Clive has also built a supplement company that generated 24,000 pounds a month, selling products including colloidal silver, prebiotics, and aerobic oxygen. We'll dig into what Clive's doing with his virtual AI copywriters right after I remind you that copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. All right, so Clive, welcome back, and thanks for joining us again.
Well, thank you. It was a great time we had last time, so let's see if we can top that.
All right, let's see.
Yeah.
So, an enormous number of bots, and I think you have a unique design philosophy and operational way of doing it too. What prompted you to create all these bots?
It was originally, I was working with a guy in Australia, and he had a platform for people to come together who couldn't sell. Basically, they were engineers, SaaS companies, and things like that. And he wanted me to create tools that would help them create their message and be able to put showcase their message and what they do without them needing to have to persuade anybody or use any sales tactics. So we started building GPTs back then, just basic ones. And then as I got further into it, I thought it would be better if they knew more about their clients and before they actually put their message together. So I started delving into that. And you mentioned earlier on about Christine Marlowe's copywriting brief, which she generously gave me many years back. And I turned that into a bot, and it actually coaches you on giving the AI a lot of information about you. Then it puts it together, and then I'll put that into another bot, which gives me a readout of something like 50 pages, in-depth readout. And I'll have things like, I'll ask for 15 buying beliefs that they already have. So they'll have 5 internal beliefs about their ability to use what it is you're offering them, 5 external beliefs about people around them, about their ability to follow through, and then 5 environmental or economy beliefs, depending on what product you're selling. Then I ask for 10 deep desires that they would never admit to anyone. And what comes back is some really, really in-depth research. And I've shown it to many people, over 100 people right now, and every single one of them says, we never go to that level. We never go to that depth that you go to. And that's always my starting point for using any of the bots. And then what I do is I have them listen to the, turn it into a recording, put brainwave entrainment music in the background, and they listen to that recording going out for a walk. And now they understand their client better than their client understands themselves by the time they get back.
Let's talk about Christine's 21 questions. I guess you came up with that idea in order to help these people who just weren't inclined to be salespeople in Australia, these engineers.
Yeah.
What are some of the important questions it asks that maybe people don't even think of asking?
It would ask questions about their product, you need two aspects. You need a deeper understanding of the product and a deeper understanding of the customer and what they're looking to solve in their life, usually in a moving away state. So you need to know what they're looking to do. Now, what she did with the questions, she built them one after the other so that she would get a bigger picture of how to write the copy. And basically, the way she did it back then was if she got enough information from the client, she could literally write the copy from the brief itself. Whereas I'm doing it with a bot, so the bot is coaching you to give me the best answer you can possibly give me. But I want to go deeper than that, so I take that to another level, and then I go into...
But let's talk about the questions. What are some questions?
The ones I find unlock the gold is the 15 buying beliefs they already have, which is something I came up with, and you know, about what they believe about themselves and their ability to follow through. And then what other people around them believe about themselves, about them. Because people know that if they're in a certain situation like an entrepreneur, entrepreneurs are always looking for the next shiny object. They don't always follow through. And so you've got to be able to counteract that, so it comes up with an objection. If your wife or your partner doesn't think you're going to follow through, you've got to answer that objection in your copy. Right? You've got to allow for that. That's why I put those in there. Or something's happening in the economy that makes them feel that they can't afford it. So you could do a risk reversal, make your risk reversal guarantee much, much stronger than you would otherwise make it. So those are the areas where I think I get the most out of the GPT when I ask it those questions.
Okay. And most people don't even think about that, right?
They don't. No, nobody ever thinks about that. No. And then you've got the 10 hidden desires that they would never admit to anyone. And these are usually ego-driven desires. You can't use them in the copy, but you have to be aware of them. And you can't bring them up in the copy.
They would be embarrassing, probably.
Yes,
right?
They would be very embarrassing. Yes, because a lot of it is, you know, they want... It's like the revenge story of they laugh when I sat down at the piano, but when I started to play. They want revenge on people that didn't believe in them, right? Mm-hmm. But it could have been their parents, or it could have been their spouse, or whatever, right? Or they want revenge on people that used to put them down. But now they're the expert, right? Because they bought your book or whatever it is. Okay.
Sure.
So you get all these, when you get these come up, it really does shine huge lights on their current situation and where they're feeling real angst. And that's a great point. Now I can put that into another bot and it will read all that, it will know all that, and therefore it will come up the copy that aligns with all of that. It's much, much more accurate. But as you know, Dave, when you do a lot of research, if you don't do enough marketing research, you cannot write any copy.
I think the important thing to know here is when we're writing, we want to know that stuff, even if we're not going to put it in the copy. Same thing with using ChatGPT to help us write copy. The more it knows, even if you tell it, hey, this can't go in the copy, but you need it for context, the better job it will do.
You got it. Absolutely right. That's perfect. That's better than I could have said it. So, yes.
That's great. So, have you noticed ever that AI can sometimes get people to tell the truth more easily than a human interviewer?
I always think that when you're writing copy, you're telling the truth attractively. So what I do is I'm trying to make the copy more attractive to the reader all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's why I put all this stuff in, the information in about the buyer persona, right? So you get a deep amount of information in there. And I won't run any bot without that information in there, because the bot doesn't know what to do. It has no idea what to do. And it is, you know, copy is all about market research.
Absolutely. Let's talk about your neurocopy analyzer and using AI to copy chief your work. Other than looking for neuro triggers, what are some other things you need to be on the lookout for?
Usually when I create the map, the buyer persona map, I put that into neurocopy analyzer first. And it will create a brain chemical map of the state of where that person is right now. And it will tell you if they're in a lot of angst, you cannot use fear, like for cortisol in the beginning of it, because they're just going to run away from it. So you have to be aware of where they are, because you want your copy to match where they are right now in the way their brain state is. So I tend to stick with the chemicals, if they need someone, they're looking for someone to bond with them because they're not sure and they're looking for someone to hold their hand, you use oxytocin, right? And if you're looking, they're looking for hope, and it'll come up with a brain map. It'll say, yes, they are looking for hope. So you're going to use dopamine in there. But you're going to make it so that you're showing them, here's what I've got for you that's going to help you, and I'll show you why in a minute. Then you give them all that evidence. Now they've got hope, right? Because you're matching what where they are, where their brain state is right now. So what it will then do is it will analyze, you put in your current control, and it will analyze against their brain map where they are right now. And it will show you the gaps, the things that you're missing out on, or where you've gone over the top, right? For example, in the book, there is an example right at the very beginning of the book where somebody was trying to sell a product to people that are interested in horses. And they were, the person was already in a lot of angst, and they couldn't, no matter what they did with their existing copy, they couldn't sell it because they were upping the angst. As soon as they dropped that, the sales started to happen.
When you show people the conclusions, whether they really understand the neurochemicals or not, what kind of response do they have when you show them how they can beat the control by adjusting things?
They're always amazed. They just, I wish I'd known that before. So when they see the, where the gaps are, and it gives them a great big detailed list of these gaps where you need to do, and it will tell you how much it's hurting your conversion rate. And most of the time it's about 30 to 35%. So that's a huge gap with what they could be doing, right? So they could almost double their conversion rate by fixing the neurochemical problems that they've got. Maybe they've got the neurochemicals firing in the wrong order. Maybe with that buyer persona map. If they have, then they've got to rearrange them. Or if they've missed something, they haven't got enough detail to make it more believable. So that's, so when you go over to the neurocopy enhancer, when it switches the mode, it will look at what your existing copy is, and it will say, this is how it should be. And you're going to get a higher connection with these people now, because you're revealing more about yourself, right? And you would have all that information already in there, so it can draw from that, right? So it's like being private in public. If you tell people that you've had the same problems and you show them what happened in your life, they're much more likely to believe you, and that's the oxytocin bond. If they want authority, then you show them what you've been able to do, what you've achieved in your life, and what people have said about you. So now you've got the serotonin going, because they need that as well. But you can't put the serotonin before the oxytocin. You've got to bond with them first, then you've got to show why you're the right person to help them.
So has using this process brought you some unexpected understandings that maybe would have taken you a lot longer to get, you know, regarding neurocopy, that maybe you would have never gotten or would have taken a lot longer if you hadn't used AI?
Yeah, most definitely. It's showing me the where I'm missing, right? Because we are humans, we're fallible, we don't remember everything. But the bot does, because it's loaded with all these controls. It has, I think, something like 50 controls from the new masters and the old masters, and controls that have made over $1 million, right? And one of them was the Wall Street Journal. So it's looking at all that information and saying, well, you put this in here, you dimensionalize the situation that they're in, or the benefits of your product. You go much deeper than you would have otherwise. So for me, I'm looking at it and it's coaching me to be a better copywriter. Every time I use it, I'm thinking, well, I missed that out last time, right? So if you miss something out, it shows you that. And then because we're fallible, we forget things, and it's easy to, okay, well, the copy looks good, it looks all right, but then run it through the neurocopy. Oh, you're not using relief at the end. You haven't got enough endorphins going at the end. And that picks up quite often. And people are trying to use adrenaline at the end of their copy to try and get people to act now. The adrenaline is a fight or flight. You'll scare them away, right? But with endorphins, they finally feel there's relief. I can actually get what I want. I can get my problem solved. And if you look at all the masters, they all use, and you're one of them, they all use endorphins at the end and not adrenaline. There's no sign of anybody using adrenaline that have made millions of dollars with their copy.
Right. There are people who use it, but their results don't pan out as well, I guess.
They don't make the money. They don't get the higher conversions.
Yeah, one question. So, you know, styles change, regulations change, the environment changes, and some of the high performing copy from like years ago might not pass compliance or might not pass the smell test with consumers anymore. I don't know. Do you worry that some of the controls that worked back then using them as models or guardrails will have adverse effects on modern market sophistication levels?
Yes, they would. In the book, I show Gary Halbert's coat of arms letter from 1971. Back then, people weren't so sophisticated. If you go back to the Breakthrough Advertising book, written in 1966 by Eugene Schwartz, people weren't that sophisticated back then. But today, with AI and the internet, people are very sophisticated. So you have to go into the marketplace when you write your copy, allowing for that level of sophistication. Okay, so that's what it allows you to do when you're looking at neurocopy. And that's the other reason why I created the story lead bot that you mentioned earlier on. Because mm-hmm. there's six leads, as we know. And the three leads that I hired to write are Secrets and Systems, Proclamation or Prediction, and the story lead. And out of all the leads that have ever been gone out to a cold audience, the story lead is the one that makes the most money. And that's the one I've struggled the most with. That's why I wanted to create a bot that would do it for me. You know, so it'll come up with the big ideas, and it's got controls in there with big ideas like the new railroad across America, right? Or they laugh when I sat at the piano. These are breakthrough ideas that really revolutionize an industry, right? So it's looking at, when you go into the story lead bot, it's asking you a series of questions. It's basically on your knowledge and what you're thinking and your product is and your customer is. Then it comes up with several different ideas. Then if you want to expand on any one of them, it will expand on that. And then you've got, oh, this is the start of a great idea. Okay, and then you can work with the bot with that. And then it will write you a story lead based on that idea. And the story lead could be 500 words or so.
Yeah, and I think it's important to point out that you're coming up with the idea before you come up with the lead, which is something we had the guys from MarketWise, Financial Copy U on. We've had them on a few times. And they train beginning copywriters, and they spend most of the time not on copy or techniques or psychology, but on ideas, just coming up with an idea.
Yes.
So that's pretty amazing, and it's great that you're doing it that way. What's one way you're playing around with AI now that you see the most potential for, but you haven't quite cracked the code on, or AI is not quite there yet?
What I've been working on is what I call the book suite, book GPT suite. And it's 10 GPTs that all follow each other. And what it does, if you've got information scattered around the internet and you want to turn it into a book, the first GPT is called the book extractor, and that will turn it into a book, right? Then you can have what's known as the format, which is David Kolb championed it, which is the four questions that people have, or the four styles that people have. They call them the four learning styles. And that's the why, the what, the how, and the what if. Right? So why, the why person asks, why should I read this? What's in it for me? The what person is saying, well, show me your proof. What made you come up with this? What makes you think this is superior? Right? Give me all your evidence. The how person tells me I want a step-by-step process. How do I use this? Show me. Right? And the last person is the what if person. They say, well, if I use yours, how's my life going to change? Right? So if you look at all best-selling books, and I learned this from Evan Pagan way back in 2019. He looked at all the successful nonfiction books, and every chapter was organized in the format formula. So then I had the idea, well, I can turn that into a GPT. And I had some ideas, and it took me a while to do it. But now, once you've got your book extracted, now you put it in chapter by chapter, and it'll reorganize them in the right percentage, so you don't go over the top too much why or too much what, because you'll turn certain people off. So you have to have enough percentage of each. And what you end up with, you're appealing to all four styles, and it's an enjoyable read, right? So those are very important aspects of the bot suite.
So it sounds like you have cracked the code on that one. But what's something you haven't cracked the code on yet?
What am I working on that I haven't cracked the code on? I guess I haven't quite finalized the backstory bot. That's something I'm still working on.
Oh, tell me about that. That's interesting.
Right, so you've got, if you're selling an information product or where you're the expert, people want to know how you came to that. What happened to you? Where did you start? What did you stumble across? Where were the dead ends that you tried that didn't work, right? And how did you come back to it? So the bot I'm building, it asks you a series of questions. It has, I think it's about 19 different questions. And so you give it as much information as you can, then it will come back with a story. And it will do three types of stories, one for social media, one for a short form landing page, and one for a VSL. And it goes into more detail each time. But what it does, it doesn't tell your story. That's why it asks you all this information. It just organizes the story in what we call the hero's journey story. And the hero's journey is the most popular story used in blockbuster films. And we identify with that story, our mirror neurons. We believe that we are the hero in the story. So when this is why I'm working on this right now. I want the reader reads the story, they want to see themselves in the story, and that they can overcome their problem just by reading your story or hearing your story on a VSL. And once you've got that going, then you can go into the rest of it. But they want to know who you are and why they should trust you and why you're here to help them.
Okay, good. So you have this virtual agency that you're working on setting up. Tell us more about some of the other bots and what they can do, and maybe any results you'd like to share, anything like that.
I've got one that I'm working on right now, doing a campaign, and it is for a Lion's Mane supplement. And I've sold loads of supplements in the past, and it reverses cognitive decline if you catch that early enough. So I created a bot that was just for selling products. Most people are creating bots and GPTs to sell services or to sell courses. Then nobody's got a GPT that actually does it to sell physical products. So I created that, and then it comes up with some phenomenal copy based on that. And then I tend to work with the mini subheads, like Joe Sugarman did. So the subheads are to stop them from reading the entire copy. And it slows them down and go, oh, what's that subhead about? And then they have to go back and read the whole copy. If you look at his brilliant ad that made $11 million, which is the Vision Breakthrough ad, when he was selling those sunglasses that blocked out blue lights, blue blockers. And that's what he did. So there aren't many people that can sell physical products. So we started doing that. Now the campaign will go live next week. So what we did with that one is he had Facebook ads, and then I created an advertorial for him. Then I created the sales page for him. Now the way the advertorial was created, it took me a while to do that because the bot kept stealing the thunder from the sales page, which you can't have, right? The sales page is totally separate. So I said, okay.
Interesting challenge, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I said, okay, well now you have to imagine this is going to go into a magazine, and this guy's going to be paying 1,000 euros to get this ad in the magazine. Oh, now the bot comes alive and said, now that's a game changer, right? Now it starts to act completely different and comes up with much better copy, but it's still stealing a bit of thunder from the sales page, which I didn't like. So I finally, took me about 2 or 3 hours, and I finally came up with a metaphor. And I said, okay, imagine you've seen the film, The Star Wars, right? And you've got the hero's journey inside the Star Wars. Brilliant film, standalone film. However, they turned up with a prequel before the Star Wars film, right? And I asked the bot, does the prequel give anything away that's in the main Star Wars film? No, it doesn't. Ah, right. That's why you're doing that. You're taking that. You're telling them what's in the
Star Wars. That's good.
Yeah. And so it completely rewrote the advertorial. And it was so good. I have shown it to 3 or 4 people now, and everybody tears up when they see it. Everybody. Nobody misses it. And people don't think that AI can write copy like that. Oh, yes, it can if you give it the right information.
Well, it's more than giving it the right information. It's certainly that. But it's, I think it's coming up with a way to get it to think so that it understands. Oh, where'd you go?
Sorry, just put the light on because it's getting dark. we're in England.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just disappear in a minute.
It's about 8 hours later there.
Yeah.
The whole thing about the prequel, I mean, I had a similar experience where I was asking an AI to come up with some solution benefit bullet points, and they were, you know, McKinsey or Harvard Business School could have written them. I said, this is too conceptual and strategic. I need you to go, and I don't know where I came up with this, the bottom of Maslow's pyramid.
Oh, and, yeah. There you go.
And, you know, urgent survival level stuff, and, you know, stuff that needs to be solved right away. And it complimented me. It said, thank you. That really helps me understand it. I found that the new Claude, Opus 4.6 or whatever it's called. Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Is very, very good. Maybe better than ChatGPT.
It is.
Go back and forth between them.
I go back and forth. But I think for writing, you're absolutely spot on.
So, I didn't come up with that after 4 or 5 hours. I came up with that out of feeling a lot of pressure and some anger and some desperation. But whatever it takes, I think it's knowing how to explain it and being willing to try again without, you know, slamming your fist in the table and saying, damn it, don't you understand? Which yeah. I did in the beginning. I was cursing at it a lot, you know, and
it never works.
I realized, no, it thinks different than we do, and you need to find a way to get its thinking in alignment with what you want. Yeah?
Yeah. And like you said, the metaphors with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it's more like a metaphor, like I did with the prequel, mm-hmm. right? So the way I tend to look at the bots is if you create a bot and you do all the work and you create this bot, you end up with something similar to a Ferrari just coming out of a showroom, okay? And now that's your vehicle. Right, now what type of driver are you going to be? Are you going to be a learner driver? You just passed your test? Or are you going to be a Formula One racing car driver? If you're a Formula One racing car driver, you're going to get the most out of this bot, right? Out of this Ferrari. And that's how I managed to get the advertorial bot to do what I wanted it to do, because it wasn't my bot, it was somebody else's bot, and they hadn't done enough, which I think didn't do enough detail on it. So with my bots, if I run up against a real problem, like a pothole in the road and I can't move forward or whatever it is, I want to go under the hood and I want to look and I want to go and fine tune that, right? So it doesn't work. Okay, right, I keep getting this problem coming up and I can't go any further with it. So then I say, okay, tell me what I need to do in order to fix your operating system so that you can do what I want you to do, right? And it'll give me that information. I say, okay, now tell me where I can put that in the operating system to make sure it all fits and it all works. Because as you know, they've got a bad memory. As soon as you lose the thread, that memory's gone and it'll make that same mistake again.
Right.
So that's why I look at it in those three different ways.
All right. So tell us about some of your other bots and your new virtual agency.
Well, I got one. A lot of people, when they write copy, they struggle with the design and they go and give it to a designer. So I've got one that I call the Queen of Design. And what that does, it will lay it out and it will enhance all your copy so that for the sophisticated audience. So you put in your audience first and it recognizes the audience. And then you say, right, here's my copy. Then it will say the copy is good. You don't need to change any of the copy, but you just need to change the layout. And if it's a sophisticated audience, you don't put as seen on. And in some cases, you don't even put testimonials in there. Right, but it'll do subtle things, like it'll put a space between a paragraph above and below so those words stand out, and it'll also suggest things like condense the words, right? So it makes people stop and think, oh, right, and it's not drawing attention to itself. It's like a shop window. If you're seeing the shop window, that's drawing attention to itself, but if you're seeing through to the clothes or what's inside the shop, that's what you want, and that's what the Queen of Design does with your copy. And it goes to a very, very deep level. It gives you exact layout, exactly what to do, font size, font weight, where to put them, how much, where to put the headlines, where to put the subheads, to make it so that it's the slippery slide that Joe Sugarman used to talk about.
But you have at least a dozen different bots. Each one's like a little virtual copywriter, right?
Yeah, I got one I call Webinar Magic, right? It will take your long-form sales letter and it will turn it into a webinar, and it will tell you what to say and when, at what point to say it. And it'll even give you ideas to what to put on the slides, right?
That's good.
Yeah.
Tell us about one more, and then maybe we start looking at wrapping it up.
Okay, I've got one I call the Research Oracle, and that will tell you if your idea has got legs before you spend any money on it. It goes into it in great depth. It'll look at the market clarity before you invest, the customer insight that drives revenue, the competitive positioning intelligence, the strategic execution guidance, structured investor-ready output. So you could give that to an investor and say, hey, this is going to be a good idea, this is going to work. An investor could look at that and say, hey, I like this, it's a great idea, and may put money into it. Or it may say, all right, you're now reducing all your risk. It is worth you starting this business. Maybe you want to use $1,000 to get going with it. Then you could test it, right? But it's saving you that work. If you're going out in today's marketplace using guesswork, it's not good enough anymore.
That's very good. So if people want to talk, and I know you have other ones, but we don't have time to go through all 200 of them or whatever. So how can people reach you if they'd like to find out more?
I've got an email address. It's clivecable@googlemail.com. And you can get me on WhatsApp, because I'm in the UK. So if you're in America, you want to use +44, which is the UK code. And it's 7796-354-114. Just reach out and say you saw me on David's copywriting podcast, and I'll get back to you.
That sounds good.
Clive, do you have a website we can send people to that I can include in the show notes?
Yes, it's clivecable.com. I will send you, I've been working on a sales page, a landing page, which should be finished today. I'll send you that link. I'll send it to David via LinkedIn. And that will give you an overview of what the book suite GPTs will do. Because there's a lot of experts out there that have got their information scattered. They would love to have it as a lead generation book. Hmm. And I detail that and how it all works and all the 10 stages and why you need all 10. Because it's got to be seen on Amazon, and you've got to use Amazon's algorithms at the end to make sure when people start searching for something like yours, yours will be one of the ones that automatically comes up.
All right. We'll make sure to include that in the show notes as well. I think my final takeaway from today's episode is I enjoy the way that you think about all of this. Instead of be Eugene Schwartz and write me a good hook, you've got all of these predecessors that come before that point that make it to where once you get to the point of, all right, let's actually write some copy now, you're starting with a really solid foundation. And I think that that's where all of these AI tools actually shine, is when you can give them the prep work that a good copywriter needs to do anyways. But a lot of business owners and newbie copywriters that are just jumping into it expect the copy to come out good without having to do all of that foundational stuff first.
You're absolutely right. Without that, you're lost. You've got nothing.
And what you've done is you've automated the prep work and broken it down, I guess, into you know, small manageable steps so that you don't need a lot of background and experience to do it. You just need to answer questions.
And I've seen it many times when I get clients and I show them, I do it in front of them on live, and they're looking at this and they're saying, well, that's a headline there. I can use that as a headline. I can use that as some of the body copy. I can use this to overcome objections, because it's telling you, it's giving you all that information. And as soon as they see it, they go, oh, wow, I never knew that. I never go to that depth, right? So they can
It's their own words that they can use as a headline because they've been asked the right question.
Exactly. Is that good? Right, and it's their own words, and that's where you want to be. You want to be thinking from it behind their eyeballs. So you're inside their head, and they think that you're talking to them like they're talking to themselves.
Right.
All right. We are out of here. If you enjoyed this episode and you want more, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. We'll make sure to leave a link to your websites in the show notes for this episode. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Thank you.
Catch you later. Mm-hmm. Thanks, bye. When you have some copy and the performance of the copy is mission critical, who are you going to call? Not Ghostbusters. They don't do copy critiques, last time I checked. A lot of people, from the most advanced to the up-and-coming copywriters, reach out to me. I do copy critiques. One client, Brett Alcorn, has hired me 20 times. Yep, 20 times. That's because on the very first critique I did for him, he doubled his conversions on a video sales letter. Every month, I do a handful of critiques for GKIC members. These are copywriters and small business owners who are trained and experienced, but they need another set of experienced eyes to go over their copy to take it to the next level. One A-lister told me, I go over copy like an IRS auditor. Now, I wasn't sure whether to take that as a compliment or not, but he assured me it was. He said, I can find the one flaw or several flaws in copy that no one else was able to, and make winning suggestions on how to fix them. So, when you need a copy critique, just go to garfinkelcoaching.com and click on the services tab. garfinkelcoaching.com for a critique. Hey, if you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app so we can get into ears of more listeners. Thank you.